Jesus is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 529. It is July 25, 2016. Well, today a trip back in history. 400 years ago, the birth of one John Owen. We're going to read one of his works today. But who was John Owen? He was an English nonconformist. That means he didn't conform to the Church of England. You know, the Protestants didn't conform to the Catholic Church, but eventually the Church of England, which was almost like the Catholic Church, had its dissidents also. They were called nonconformists. They could be Puritans, they could be pilgrims, but they were definitely not in conformity with what was going on in the Church of England. John Owen was one of those, and around 1670, 1680, he wrote this. It's not necessarily anti-Catholic or anti-Church of England, but just to show you the kind of thing that he would write. I'm only going to read to you some of the preface of the book. The book itself is very deep and very wonderful. Even the preface is difficult. We're going to have to go a little deeper today. I hope you can handle that with me. I have some trouble with it too. This is not old English words so much, but it is a theology that we don't go into as much as we ought to. Let me read from John Owen. The design of the ensuing discourse is to declare some part of that glory of our Lord Jesus Christ which is revealed in the Scripture and proposed as the principal object of our faith, our love, delight, admiration. But alas, after our utmost and most diligent inquiries, we must say how little a portion is it of him that we can understand. His glory is incomprehensible. His praises are unutterable. Some things an illuminated mind may conceive of it, but what we can express in comparison of what it is in itself is even less than nothing. But as for those who have forsaken the only true guide herein, endeavoring to be wise above what is written, and to raise their contemplations by fancy and imagination above Scripture revelation, as many have done, they have darkened counsel by words without knowledge, uttering things which they understand not, which have no substance or spiritual food of faith in them. Howbeit, that real view which we may have of Christ and his glory in this world by faith, however weak and obscure that knowledge which we may attain of them by divine revelation, is inexpressibly to be preferred above all other wisdom, understanding, or knowledge whatever. So it is declared by him who will be acknowledged a competent judge in these things. Yea, doubtless, saith he, I count all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He who doth not so hath no part in him. The revelation made of Christ in the blessed gospel is far more excellent, more glorious, and more filled with rays of divine wisdom and goodness than the whole creation and the just comprehension of it, if attainable, can contain or afford. Without the knowledge hereof, the mind of man, however priding itself in other inventions and discoveries, is wrapped up in darkness and confusion. This, therefore, deserves the severest, that is, the most intense of our thoughts, the best of our meditations, and our utmost diligence in them. For if our future blessedness shall consist in being where he is and beholding of his glory, what better preparation can there be for it than in a constant previous contemplation of that glory in the revelation that is made in the gospel unto this very end, that by a view of it we may be gradually transformed into the same glory. I shall not, therefore, use any apology for the publishing of the ensuing meditations, intended first for the exercise of my own mind, and then for the edification of a private congregation, which is like to be the last service I shall do them in that kind. Some may, by the consideration of them, be called to attend unto the same duty with more diligence than formerly, and receive directions for the discharge of it. Some may be provoked to communicate their greater light and knowledge unto the good of many. And that which I design farther in the present discourse is to give a brief account of the necessity and use in life and death of the duty exhorted unto. Particular motives unto the diligent discharge of this duty will be pressed in the discourse itself. Here some things more general only shall be premised. For all persons not immersed in sensual pleasures, not overdrenched in the love of this world and present things, who have any generous or noble thoughts about their own nature being an end, are under the highest obligation to betake themselves unto this contemplation of Christ and his glory. Without this they shall never attain true rest or satisfaction in their own minds. He it is alone in whom the race of mankind may boast and glory, on whom all its felicities do depend. For, number one, he it is in whom our nature, which was debased as low as hell by apostasy from God, is exalted above the whole creation. Our nature, in the original constitution of it, in the persons of our first parents, was crowned with honor and dignity. The image of God wherein it was made, and the dominion over the lower world wherewith it was entrusted, made it the seat of excellency, of beauty, and of glory. But of them all it was at once divested and made naked by sin, and laid groveling in the dust from whence it was taken. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return, was its righteous doom. And all its internal faculties were invaded by deformed lusts. Everything that might render the whole unlike unto God, whose image it had lost. Hence it became the contempt of angels, the dominion of Satan, who, being the enemy of the whole creation, never had anything or place to reign in but the debased nature of man. Nothing was now more vile and base. Its glory was utterly departed. It had both lost its peculiar nearness unto God, which was its honor, and was fallen into the greatest distance from him of all creatures, the devils only excepted, which was its ignominy and shame. And in this state, as unto anything in itself, it was left to perish eternally. In this condition, lost, poor, base, yea, cursed, the Lord Christ, the Son of God, found our nature. And hereon, in infinite condescension and compassion, sanctifying a portion of it unto himself, he took it to be his own, in a holy, ineffable subsistence in his own person. And herein again the same nature, so depressed into the utmost misery, is exalted above the whole creation of God. For in that very nature God hath set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Ephesians 1:20-21. This is that which is so celebrated by the psalmist with the highest admiration in Psalm 8:3-8. This is the greatest privilege we have among all our fellow creatures. This we may glory in and value ourselves upon. Those who engage this nature in the service of sensual lusts and pleasures, who think that its felicity and utmost capacities consist in their satisfaction with the accomplishment of other earthly, temporary desires, are satisfied with it in its state of apostasy from God. But those who have received the light of faith and grace, so as rightly to understand the being and end of that nature, whereof they are partakers, cannot but rejoice in its deliverance from the utmost debasement into that glorious exaltation which it hath received in the person of Christ. And this must needs make thoughts full of refreshment unto their souls. Let us take care of our persons. The glory of our nature is safe in Him. Well, there you have a little bit of John Owen. That's not the whole preface. That was just part one of the preface. Can you imagine getting into the book itself? I hope that you will stay with me for a few days on this. It's deeper, but it's better. It's good for us, isn't it? To keep stretching our understanding of who Jesus really is. Not changing it in any way, but going deeper in the Word. I'd like to tell you a little bit about a book that has put together all the various elements that I wrote about Roman Catholicism and my experiences with it and the history of it in under the label of Babylon, Mystery Babylon. And I had like 7 or 8 different books. Part one was Babylon in Bible Days. And then there was part two, Rome, Pagan to Papal. Part three, When People Protest, Protestant Reformation. Part four, Writing 20th Century Beasts. That's when this work started, was in the 20th century. And then part five, The Great Transformation, what happened to Romanism to make it so different today than what we read about, and has it really changed its aim? Part six is my own breaking with Rome and my history with them, and then the coming out of. Part seven was Protestant threads, because there's a lot of Romanism in Protestantism, and I wanted you to see that. I've even put an appendix in this book about the Passion of Christ, that is the movie called The Passion of Christ, and how very, very Catholic that movie was. Would like you to take a look at this book. It's one book now. It's one volume. I just called it The Scarlet Threads, A History of the Mystery Called Babylon. And you can get that at createspace.com/615-5930. A page will open up that just has this one book in it. If you want to look at all my books, or at least most of them, you can go to Amazon.com. But that first way that I mentioned is the way that will bless the ministry the most. Although you'll see it's not a whole lot of expense. But I want you to have this book. Again, as I say all the time, every one of those things that I mentioned, every one of those parts is available in written and audio form right here on Sermon Audio, and it's free. Now, the book itself will cost you a few dollars, but go either way with it. I think you'll be enjoying it, and I mean that in a spiritual sense. It won't give you a lot of ha-ha, but it'll hopefully give you an aha moment every once in a while. God bless you today for being here. Want to remind you that my website also has a lot of different Bible studies and so on. There's a study on the Quran and one on Muhammad. I'd like you to go look that one up there on the site. I think that will bless you. Tomorrow, I believe we'll go back to, I'm not sure, we may do a 1st and 2nd Chronicles question answer, or we may continue with John Owen. Whatever, we'll have John Owen later in the week. That's our agenda for the next few days, John Owen, and as I catch up and get enough pages together to share a question and answer session, then I will do that. So that's where we're going for a little while. We started today actually in Ephesians 1:20, and you heard John Owen speaking of it. Jesus is far above all rule and all authority and all power and all dominion. Amen.